All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in this Christmas season in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Jules, 21 Hours is on. LA 106 is on. Jen 11, Live Free is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Kept Guy 1 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Dead Plan is on. D9597 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Judy Anita is on. Dave Souter is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. ATC Terry is on. Ann Bully is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Jim Kohler is on. Joe Heathen is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. K4 VMS is on. Just Fact is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Mike Griffith is on. John Phillips is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Sheila K is on. Beckland 60 is on. Uncle Wally is on. Order in the Court is on. Let me see. S. Clark 1968 is on. Jim Brody is on. Ab Seeks Truth is on. DC 941 is on. Neanderthal Soup is on. Lynn Custer is on. Joins is on. Charlie 340 is on. Jana Jones is on. Neo Solo is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Patriot Wolverine is on. Gen 11 Live Free is on. Clean the Clean Sanchez is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Will Gilbert is on. Let me see your anybody. Oh, Nitsua 99 is on. Jim Kohler's got me at 10:34. It's wrong, Jim. I'm telling right now, 10:15. Done. 10:15. Done. Been going late every night. Changing my ways. Starting right now. TJ. Starting right now. TJ. T1. You know, hey, not a whole lot happened today. Got the CR thing, but other than that, I mean, I got a whole stack, but, you know, who knows. Granted, 2468 is on. Starl. Barkley is on. Confederate 1 is on. Let me see here. Kansas Law Dog is on. See if I missed anybody here. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Shaylin 04 hops on at the last second. One fast Rob is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go right to the first one. Will, everybody knows what we're going to talk about. Here it is, of course. Breaking House votes against Trump-endorsed government funding bill as shutdown looms. By the way, who cares? And just so everybody knows, nobody in the military is going to go unpaid, just so you know. That never happens. We've seen the shutdown before. Did you ever see the military picketing or complaining? No, they were all getting paid. Everybody who needs to get paid is going to get paid, like our military. People like that will continue to get paid, even if there's a shutdown. And here's the thing. If it is shut down, Aaron, what's the date today?
The 19th.
19th. Trump takes office 1 month and 1 day from today. If it gets, and by the way, nobody's working next week, and neither am I, by the way, just so everybody knows. We're not doing a podcast, but plenty of church. Plenty of church, but Sunday morning, Christmas Eve, Sunday morning. So be there at church, and I'll be doing, since I won't be able to do podcasting, a lot of podcasts will come out in the services. So anyway, so basically, there really is not much of a shutdown because the new Congress gets sworn in January 3rd. If my math is right, that's about 15 days from now. So 14 days from now, something like that. So anyway, because you got the 31st day of the month. So about 15 days from now, right? And of that 15 days, five business days are not even, of that 15 days, you've got, let's see, two, four, about eight weekend days-ish, something like that, and five working days are everybody's off. They're not even in D.C., so what's the point? Who cares if there's a government shutdown? It has no impact on you and me at all. None. The feds don't do anything for you on a daily basis. So what's the point? So now here's the thing. This is going to be a little bit of a weird response for me tonight because normally I would just abjectly pick one side of this. I can't do that tonight. You're like, Tom, look at what it says there. This was a Trump-endorsed government funding bill. Listen, you need to understand something. I am no Trump sycophant. I love Trump, voted for Trump. If somehow Bannon's talking about it, if Trump somehow ran again, I'd vote for Trump. I'm just saying. I don't always agree with Trump. And I agree with some of what he did here with this bill, but I don't agree with all of what he did with this bill. And we're going to break this bill down. And of the 30, if you see the numbers breaking down there, you're like, if all the Republicans would have voted for the bill, it would have passed. I agree. But should it pass? Should it? I mean, in all honesty, how many of you have read the bill? Should it have passed? Well, they've lowered it from 1,500 pages to what's the number? Let me see. 216 pages. That's good. And there's a lot of pork that was shaved off of, but there's still a lot of pork in it. And Trump eliminated the debt ceiling for another 2 years. Why would he do that? Why? Again, and this is the thing. I've come on the podcast before and just blasted Trump. And then it turns out that he had better motives than I thought that he had. And he was actually right, and I had to come out and retract. So there may be some motive that I don't understand yet. Aaron and I were talking earlier. I actually had Aaron hold off on some stuff in the podcast because I wanted to further read this thing and see what was, why this happened, who voted against it, and all those different things. We're going to go over who voted against it. You can't just be like, okay, Trump wanted it, so everybody who voted against is the devil. No, folks, it's not that way. Most of the time it is. Most of the time it is, but it's not always that way because basically you understand something. There's 38 members of Congress. We'll go through each and every one of their names in just a second. They don't want to vote for no debt ceiling. This is what we just, I mean, I just rampaged against this when Mike Johnson a year and a half ago passed the omnibus spending package, not the one 6 months ago, the minibus, the one a year before that, which was an omnibus practice where he gave Biden no debt ceiling that he needed to abide by until 2025. So you have absolutely no leverage. You have no way to rein in government spending. You're like, well, they always vote to increase it anyway. Well, then you have people on the record voting to increase the debt ceiling. And when you're $37 trillion in debt, why do we even need to talk about it? It's just like if you have a penis, why do we need to talk about what bathroom you're going into? Why do we need to have that discussion? But now we do. You saw the pregame when you had Trump just lambasting Schumer. You know, because he's sitting there talking about that was the same thing, shutting down the government. If any of these people had any credibility and they did anything for altruistic motives or benevolent motives, or they actually performed well, then there would be some argument that would say that it was a bad thing to shut down the government. Why is it a bad thing to shut down a government $37 trillion in debt? Which we'll get into again in a second. But anyway, so weirdly, I'm walking down the middle for once because I understand why people didn't vote for this. You can't simply have the perspective that Trump is right no matter what he does. You can't. He's not Jesus. There's a lot of conservatives that need to get saved and understand that Trump is not Jesus. He's not the savior. He's just the best politician in my lifetime because he's not a politician. He's the best president ever in my lifetime. And I fully remember the Reagan era. I was an adult for part of it. So I'm just saying, he's the greatest. But he did this in his first administration, passing these bills that don't need to be passed. Well, I mean, you have to keep the government funded. Why? Why? And here's the thing, and this is something that Matt Gaetz was always talking about from the House floor. Why are we not passing clean bills? This is not a clean bill. It's not a clean bill. It's still an omnibus. What they do is leverage everything. You've heard this on this podcast for the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. Everything is leveraged. The book of Revelation. Chapter 13 and 14, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. How does he do it? He causes all. You can't, when it comes down to Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, when it comes down to that time, you can't buy anything without a mark of the beast on your right hand or on your forehead. You can't. You cannot buy food. You can't get a tooth extracted. You can't go to the hospital. You can't buy, sell, trade, or travel. You can't have a job. You can't own gold or real estate without a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. That is called leverage. It's called leverage. That's what these omnibus spending bills are. What they do, this is the Democratic Party playbook, is they'll put in the bill a save the puppies segment of the bill. So everybody would want to save the puppies, right? But included in that bill are 47 things like funding Ukraine, like funding abortions, funding transgender surgeries for inmates, funding transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants, funding transgender surgeries for juveniles, and funding abortions. But if you vote against the bill, you're voting against saving the puppies. Aaron, is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what they do. Yeah. Yeah. That's why they have omnibus spending bills. This is so they can leverage you. They can use one pseudo fake positive aspect to leverage you in to voting for pure unadulterated evil and debt. That's it. And this bill is still that. It's still that. But Trump put his name on it. It doesn't matter. Is it better than the first one? Yeah, it's better. But it's not good enough because it's still adding to our debt. And he removed the debt ceiling for 2 years. Why would you do that unless you want to do what, Aaron? Increase the debt.
Yeah.
So Trump wants to increase the debt. Well, come on. I hope not. But why would you do this? Why? And people are saying, well, because he didn't want to be leveraged by Congress. You should want to be leveraged into staying within fiscal responsibility. It makes no sense at all. Yes, this bill, CR2 is better than CR1, but let's not all be sick of it, shall we? Let's all appreciate Donald Trump as he is, an imperfect human being. And he's a great president, the best of my lifetime. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's the 38 Republicans who voted against it. Now look at these names, folks. Apologize for my sniffing. I just got some snot. I'm going to clear out of my... I feel great. I just have a congested nose and throat. I apologize. But anyway, I'm trying to so I can talk clearly. See, Biggs from Arizona is a real conservative, folks. Burchett from Tennessee, a real conservative. He's voting against the first CR bill. Kate Kamak, legit conservative. These are mega anti-vaxxers even. Okay, anti-COVID vaxxers. And there's some non-conservatives on here too, but let's go. Gozar, conservative. I'm going down the list here. Let's go. Pretty conservative. Corey Mills out of Florida. I mean, come on, folks. These are people who voted against this bill. I'm going down the list here. I missed one. Eli Crane out of Arizona. Chip Roy. I know that Donald Trump attacked Chip Roy today. And listen, Chip Roy has some aspects of his life that needed to be attacked. He did. He spoke for basically in favor of Trump's impeachment. He did. He did it. So there's Trump's impeachment for the insurrection. My guy, Greg Stubbe, didn't even vote down the bottom. That's my congressman down the bottom. People who didn't vote. 9 Republicans didn't vote. 38 Republicans voted against it. So there's a lot of legit conservatives. There aren't many of them in Thomas Massey voted. Nancy Mace, who has listed heavily right lately, she voted against it. Why did they vote against it? Let's go to the next one, and we're going to get deep into this. Go to the next one. There we go. It's 2 sacks of papers. So there's the first. Everyone has probably seen this online already. The first CR is on the left. This CR was on the right. Is this CR way better? Yes. Would I have cried if it got voted in? No, because it's certainly better and a pseudo step in the right direction, but it's still spending in debt. Well, don't we have to? Why does everybody think that? What would we lose if we actually stayed within our fiscal means? What would we lose? Elon Musk, we have 400 agents, government agencies, 400, I think it's 436 government agencies, something like that, 426, something like that. Elon Musk believed that we only need 99. So we should be cutting 3 out of 400 government agencies. So we honestly think that we can't cut fiscal spending? Why do we have... This is all still an increase, folks. This is still us. Understand, a CR is a continuing resolution. What is it continuing from? The Joe Biden omnibus spending package. And the minibus, which was an extension back in, I believe Aaron said, March last year. Mm-hmm. Well, March of this year. Right? So this is still an extension of the Biden administration that Republicans are proffering forward. Why? What is the Biden economic plan? You bring in $4 trillion worth of taxes and you spend $6.8 trillion in government spending for another $2.8 trillion in deficits. That's why we go another $1 trillion in deficit, in debt, every 90 to 100 days. That's where we're at. So it's still deficit spending right here, even though we lowered the page amount, even though you lowered the amount of deficit spending. Well, that's what they always say. Whenever you hear a politician like a Chuck Schumer, a Nancy Pelosi, or Mitch McConnell, they will say, because they're one and the same, and they say, we've lowered the debts and deficits. No, they've lowered the increases of debts and deficits. That's what that is. That they've lowered the amount of increase. So if it was going to increase by 67%, we lowered it to 58%, and they call that a cut in debts and deficits. That's what this is. Whether we like it or not, did Trump make them improve it? Yes. Did Elon make an improvement? Yes. Would I have been crying if they passed it? No, because it is an improvement. But I still would have spoken negatively about it. So let's look at it. Let's go to the next one, Will. America Papa Bear tweet. Here is Gronk. So here's Elon. I mean, listen, I love Elon. And there's a part of me that wished it would have passed. I do, because it would have been another Trump victory. But there's legitimate conservatives that voted against it. Mills, Massey, you know, Mace, other legitimate conservatives that voted against it. And I understand the conservatives that voted for it. You're like, Tom, you're never middle of the road. I know, but sometimes you have to be middle of the road. Sometimes. Rarely. Very rarely. It's just like I always talk about on Sunday mornings. There's very few parts of the Bible that are not hardcore, black, white, hot, cold. One of those parts is Romans 14:14, when it talks about people enjoying festivals, like, you know, I'm just putting into modern day vernacular, like Christmas, Halloween, those things. And the Bible basically says, let people do whatever festivals they want to do. He's talking about Christians. Let them do whatever festivals they want to do, as long as it's not demonic. Let them do whatever festivals they want to do. Just don't cause it to be a stumbling block for somebody else. And so you have somebody who's really anti-Santa, don't show up at their Christmas dinner in your Santa outfit. That's really the Bible stance. Now, the Bible is hardcore on sin. Hardcore on sin. Hardcore on the commands of God and the prosperity of God and the promises of God. All this is hardcore. But in that one area, and this is one of those areas where you can understand both sides. I understand why Chip Roy didn't vote for it. Chip Roy, on the whole, has been a staunch, real-life conservative, but he has also done some really stupid things. I got it over here. I mean, he spoke out, you know, for Trump's impeachment from January 1st. And then he actually called for the impeachment of Ken Paxton in Texas. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But on the whole, he's done good. But it's just stupid. So here's the bill. Now, this is great because Aaron told me this was coming up. I didn't know it was going to come up this fast. But Elon is updating, if that's the correct word, mm-hmm. Gronk, making it more powerful, making it more specific. This, we all know Gronk's going to be the AI system. It's Elon. He's having to rescue astronauts. He's the only one. Elon's been in like the space industry for like 10, 12 years, and he's landing rockets. NASA's been in the space industry since 1960 and has never landed a rocket. So here's a Gronk analysis of the bill. Disaster relief fund amount, $29 billion. So that's FEMA funding, just so you know, which is what FEMA asked for, $30 billion. And what has FEMA done for all of us? They built a $20 million migrant welcome center in San Diego, California. Wonder if that's where that's going to go. I'm wondering, because we will not be allocating those funds until the new Congress on January 3rd. Purpose, which this probably won't be in there till then. But anyway, purpose for major disasters declared under the Robert T. Stelfer Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, with $4 million specifically allocated for oversight by the Office of Inspector General. Why do you need $4 million for oversight? You have to pay somebody $4 million to oversee $29 million worth of allocation? How's that sound to you, Aaron?
Not great.
It sounds like Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
Clinton Foundation, where they would raise $100 million to give away $5 million.
Right.
And they would spend $95 million on administrative costs with Bill and Hillary and Chelsea Clinton are jet setting all over the globe talking about global warming. Emergency Relief Program, Department of Transportation. So Department of Transportation gets $8 billion purpose for the emergency repair of highways and roads, including we do get to actually pay for the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. We get to pay for that. Even though a private company destroyed it, you and I get to pay for it. Isn't that great? Well, we pay for it now. I'm sure we'll be reimbursed later. If you believe that, again, Santa Claus is coming to town. Go to the next one for me, Will. So Community Development Fund, what is that? Department of Housing and Urban Development? For recovery efforts post-disasters in 2023 aimed at community development. See, now this is bullcrap. I understand $30 billion to repair. What does community development mean? What on earth does that mean exactly? I'm just curious. What does it mean? Because $12 billion from a country on the cusp of $37 trillion in debt is going to some sort of community development, infrastructure restoration, housing and mitigation. What does that even freaking mean? Sick of it. It's why people voted against it, folks. This is sending us into more debt. And what's truly, lead us up, Will, what's truly amazing to me is how people don't get it and live in sort of a breezy sort of lack of knowledge of this. Just a sublime ignorance of it all. Because it's like, you see Jamie Raskin running around. Oh, we need to get, because he's a little rat. We need to, you know, to get it past this thing. I'm like, Jamie, do you realize that when you spend us $37 trillion in debt and you want to bring it to 40, 50, 60 trillion, that your wealth will be worth as little as everybody else's, or your worth will be worth, your money will be worth nothing just like everybody else's? Do you not realize it? But I won today. You won today, but you've destroyed your country. You've won today. It's like COVID cops making an arrest on people not wearing a mask because they get to keep their job. You keep your job, but you destroy the country that gives you your job. So eventually you have no job. So you may win and get this bill passed or defeated or whatever it may be so that you can spend more money and you win the political battle. But you, and so you get the legend, they get the fame and they get the wealth, but you're destroying the country that gives you the fame and the wealth, so you won't have fame and wealth much longer. I don't get it. I honestly don't get sitting on a branch and sawing it off. I honestly don't get it. I mean, you're $37 trillion in debt. And all of these Democratic politicians, this is not following the proper course. This is horribly obstructive. But what Elon Musk has done, because again, I'm walking down the middle here. I wouldn't have cried if this bill passed. Because it still was an improvement. But they were all upset because Elon Musk ruined the bill that they all agreed upon. Why does Mike Johnson going and agreeing with Democrats on a bill? Why? Why would you ever do that? Why wouldn't you just go to your caucus and make them all agree to a bill? Which they didn't because 38 people voted against it. But I'm just saying, you could have gotten those 38 people on board for a bill very easily. You know how you could have gotten those 38 people on a bill? Cut out $30 billion for losses due to various natural disasters affecting crop, livestock, and agricultural sectors. Please show me the first, I want to see where there's $30 billion worth of damage. There might be, but there also might not be, and I'm tired of farm allocations. Specific allocations include $2 billion for livestock producers, $10 billion for economic assistance. First of all, folks, can I tell you how much FEMA paid? Okay, I'm sitting here in a church building. This is a $6 million building is what its estimated value is. It costs way more than that to build it now, but so it's actually worth way more than that. According to a contractor I know, it costs you $13-14 million to build this building, but that's what it's appraised at. That's what our mortgage was for. We paid some of that down. But anyway, When we got hit by Hurricane Ian and $4 million of damage was done, do you know how much I got from the federal government? Zero. So why do the farms get it? Do they not have insurance? Why do they endlessly get subsidies? And this will bother people because farmers are conservatives. Well, a lot of people are conservatives until their government money is cut off. They want everybody else's government money cut off as conservatives, but not their government money cut off. I don't get any government money. I've never got any government money, ever. You know what I do? Pay for insurance. And after I paid for insurance, they didn't pay. They didn't pay to repair the building. So I was a cop for 25 years, pointing my gun at people, never gotten numerous fights, never had a lawsuit in my life. Now I'm in two. I just won one, and now I'm still in the second one for all over Hurricane Ian. Nobody sent me $1 billion. Nobody sent me $3 million. Nobody sent me 50 bucks. They could at least send me $50 to go to Applebee's. If FEMA's not going to pick up $8,000 worth of hurricane debris in the back of the church, which they didn't, which I had to pay for to have hauled off, they could have at least sent me an Applebee's gift card. Stop laughing, Aaron. Can't believe it's already 9:35. I only got 40 minutes to go. I'm done. All right, military construction, Naval and Marine Corps, why are we building anything? Why? Listen, we need to be retracting. Keep all of the military personnel. Get rid of all the transgenders. Retracting these useless bases around the world. And let's build high-tech weapons. Trump's already canceled like the F-35, or said he's going to cancel the F-35 program with Lockheed Martin, all that stuff. I get it. He's great. Trump is great. He's the best. And we're going to be way better off. It's going to be a great 4 years. But I understand why people didn't vote for this. We need to be contracting the military. But what I mean by that is yes, an overall dollar value, yes, we need to have the courage to do it. But what we need to be doing is, as we're contracting the military, making the military better, because most of that money is wasted anyway. They haven't passed an audit in 7 straight audits. They have $4 trillion that's missing from the military alone. Missing. How do you miss $4 trillion? You and I go to prison. You and I go to prison if we misallocate what we're supposed to pay in taxes. They can't answer an audit. Who are they answering to? The same government you and I are answering to when we answer the IRS. But they're perfectly fine. $4 trillion into the wind. If you and I claimed that we made $25,000 less than what we made, you and I are facing tax evasion charges or tax fraud charges. So military construction, Navy, Marine Corps, $1 billion. Is that $1 billion? Yeah. $1 billion for repairs due to Typhoon Mawar. I get it. That's necessary. Okay. Air Force, $487 million for similar purposes, whatever that means. Army National Guard, $21 million for storm and typhoon recovery. I'd like to know what that means exactly. I'd like to know exactly what that means. Let's go to the next one, Will. Here's the last one on this. I know this is boring stuff, but I got to do it. This is the news. People always want to talk about, you know, sexy things, vaccine passports, CBDCs, things like that. You know, the next pandemic and all that. And I'm all on board with all of it. I got a stack of it I'll never get to. But anyway, I'm just telling you. But you have to talk about, really, the most dangerous torpedo heading towards America is its debt. Health and Human Services, Child Care and Development Block Grant, $250 million. Twice for different purposes related to disaster recovery to child care services. Why can't people pay for their own insurance? And if they can't, they need assistance, I'm all in favor of that. But it's gotten to the level of absurdity now where everybody expects the government to bail them out, including conservatives. Environmental Protection Agency, state and tribal assistance grants, not just a mere $3 billion for water infrastructure affected by disasters. So they're putting this all, if you notice, under disaster, under disaster, under disaster. Do I buy that 100%? No. It's Mike Johnson writing the bill with Donald Trump's approval. I get it. Department of Interior National Park Service, $2 billion for disaster recovery of national parks. What does a national park need to recover? And what national park got hit? Forest Service, $2.5 billion for national forest system, including funds for wildlife and hurricane recovery. $3 billion for capital improvement and maintenance. There it is. Okay, there's the pork on there. Small Business Administration Disaster Loans Program, $2 billion for direct disaster loans, blah, blah, blah. So all of this basically had disaster attached to it, but does it all go to disasters? We all know it doesn't. We all know that it doesn't. That's why people didn't vote for it. But they also, I'm going to tell you the main reason why they didn't vote for it is because Donald Trump removed the debt ceiling and everybody was voted in to lower the debt. How is your motive to lower the debt? How is your goal to lower the debt and remove the debt ceiling? I mean, if your goal is to lower the debt, how does removing the debt ceiling fit in with that goal? It doesn't. And that's why we voted in the Trump administration. And I've listened to, I believe he's going to lower the debt. I do. There must be some reason he wants to do it. I believe in Donald Trump. I mean, here, Aaron and I, and Will, for most of the time, we were here for 6 hours straight on a podcast. I just think it was like 6 hours or 45. It's just shy of 7 hours.
Yeah.
Just shy of 7 hours on election night waiting for Donald Trump to finally be confirmed that he had won the election. I'm thrilled he won. This is one of those things. I didn't agree with him. Listen, you should have heard me during the COVID times on Donald Trump. Was not happy. Certainly knew we were better off with him than we were if Hillary was in charge. But I'm just saying, just because it's somebody that you voted for doesn't mean you have to agree with every last thing they do. And it doesn't mean I hate Donald Trump because I don't agree with him on something. And by the way, I don't even disagree on this bill. It certainly was better than the first. But it's still an omnibus pork spending package. And we shouldn't be so flippant billion here and a billion there and 5 billion here and 30 billion here for FEMA. When FEMA's building $20 million welcome centers in San Diego for illegal immigrants. $30 billion for you then. When you are $37 trillion in debt, you shouldn't be so flippant about spending billions of dollars. All right, Thomas Massie tweet, one of the 38 to vote against it. There is a cognitive disconnect among my colleagues who hated Speaker Johnson's CR but still plan to vote for Speaker Johnson in two weeks. That 1557 page bill was a product of the swamp that uniparty Johnson was happy to facilitate. Leave this up. Now, here's the thing. That's something that needs to be discussed briefly, is that Johnson would have happily passed the first one. So what kind of person is he really? So he isn't even a person of the CR2. He's a person of the CR1, which he and Hakeem Jeffries, he's so upset about it, so upset that they took down the first one. So if Hakeem Jeffries is upset about it, that you took down the first one, then what kind of person is Mike Johnson who was happy to vote for it, right? So Hakeem and Mike were in full agreement. Talk about, now, that bill that I just went through via Elon, it's Gronk, right?
Is it Gronk?
Grok.
Yeah, yep.
Via Grok, that was a much better bill to Trump and Elon's credit. Not Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson would have voted for the first. And this is the, Aaron, you can chime in and help me understand. I don't understand people. How is it that you call yourself a Republican and you have no Republican traits? Why? I mean, obviously you have then nefarious motives because you're trying to fool people into voting for you as a Republican so that you hold the seat of a Republican, so a legit Republican doesn't hold that seat so that you can vote as a Democrat as a Republican.
Yeah.
So this cognitive disconnect is something that plagues me in many areas of life because I do not understand cognitive disconnect. I don't get it. How you can be you can bring it back to me, Will. How you can be a preacher of the gospel and not preach the gospel. How you can be a lover of Jesus but not a lover of the word when Jesus is the word. That's a cognitive disconnect. I'm preaching Jesus, but I'm not telling people to turn from their sin because that would not be Christ-like, even though Jesus said to turn from your sin. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 4:17. So it's like this cognitive disconnect of, I preach Jesus, I'm a Christian, without any Christian attributes and without obeying the word of God, but yet I'm a Christian. And in Jesus' name, I don't obey Jesus because I don't think it's Christ-like. That's the modern church. You walk into the modern church and they believe that if you tell somebody who's going to hell that's not Christ-like. Wouldn't you want to know if you're going to hell? Wouldn't you want to know? I'd like to know. If I'm going to hell, I would certainly want somebody to tell me. Again, if you ever watch me preach at church, it's like this. Some of you are like, stop preaching, just get back to politics. No, it's always going to be both. It's always going to be both. Some same way from the pulpit too. I just tell people this, you know. If it was a foggy mess out and there was a bridge that was over one of those giant rocky mountain cliffs that you have bridge to bridge. And like, there ain't nothing but you and that bridge. And that bridge is out and it's pitch black and it's snowing and it's foggy. I would rather have somebody on the side of the road flipping me the bird, telling me to stop so that I didn't drive me and my family over that bridge, no matter what, telling me it's out. Now, of course, we're not going to be flipping the bird inside the church, but I wouldn't care what, like Paul said, whether from false motives or true, I rejoice that the gospel is being preached. Whatever the guy or girl's modus operandi, their way of preaching, no matter what their tactic of preaching is, I would want somebody to tell me the truth. Tell me the truth about what's actually happening. But that's today, it's all about, you know what, how can I make this palatable for people? No. I would rather know the bridge is out. And it's the same thing that's happening in Congress here. $37 trillion in debt. And people are worried about decorum? Rand Paul tweet. This is interesting. This is an interesting concept. This is absolutely true. Speaker of the House need not be a member of Congress. Everybody know that? I'm sure you did. I'm dealing with red pill people, both on CTN and 871 people I can see watching right now online. Nothing would disrupt the swamp more than electing Elon Musk. Think about it. Nothing's impossible. Not to mention the joy of seeing the collective establishment, a.k.a. Uniparty, lose their ever-loving minds. That's perfect. He's exactly right. Because, you know, they get so upset because their system was interrupted. Their decorum was not honored. Okay, if your system actually worked, I would say, you know what, I would be bothered by it being interrupted. Like, you know, if SpaceX was interrupted by NASA, and Elon Musk came in and said, you know what, I've accomplished way more than you've ever accomplished. Stop interrupting my program. Stop interrupting the way that I do things, because we have done way better than you. A Congress who has ushered us into $37 trillion worth of debt and endless foreign wars and endless unapproved wars and hyperinflation and open border should not be worried about an outsider interrupting their system, their way of doing things. They shouldn't worry about that. Would everybody agree?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But anyway, all right. So let's switch subject. That's enough on the CR. We got another, hey, just congratulations. We got another pandemic. Put that up there for me, Will. Got another pandemic. It's already a state of emergency in the state of California. Largest state right now. Got is declared a state of emergency for the state of California. Why is that? So lives of TikTok, Gavin Newsom's office is now fighting me in my comments. Fact, Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency over bird flu. Would everybody see, again, this is that cognitive dissonance, Aaron, that I'm talking about. Would you agree, Aaron, that if you're going to declare a state of emergency, there ought to be a
state of emergency? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There would have to be the element of an emergency if you're going to declare a state thereof.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. What emergency is there? State of emergency is how they took away our rights during COVID. Lives with TikTok, Shia Raycheck. If risk is very low for bird flu, why is this even a discussion? Mm. Why does Shia Raycheck even have to say this? Which, sadly, she does until she's banned, like she was before. If risk is very low for bird flu, why would you declare a state of emergency? Will and Aaron, if it's a 99.997% survival virus, why would you ever stay at home?
I don't know.
Right.
Why would you have a travel ban? Why would you take 10 vaccines? Why would you stand 6 feet apart? Why would you put a mask on? Why would you wash your hands over and over again? Anthony Fauci tells you to wash all your surfaces with alcohol gel for a virus that flies in the air. It's not transmitted surface to surface. It's an airborne virus. But yet the experts tell you to wash surfaces. Remember when everybody would get in their mail, including people that were in this area, they get their mail and they're squirting their mail off. The same people that espouse that are the people passing CRs and not passing CRs. Just so you know, the experts. I could stay on the CR all night. It's just absolutely blowing my mind. But anyway, so if you read the bottom there, here's her original tweet. Just then, Gavin Newsom just issued a state of emergency in California in response to concerns over bird flu reports. What are those reports? Who's died? Nobody. Newsom, state of emergency, and nobody's died. I understand it if, you know, the San Andreas Fault gives way. State of emergency. Newsom stated that he will take all necessary steps to prevent the spread of a virus that kills nobody. So in other words, he's now going to create a problem that he has to solve. Sometimes they cause the problem. Sometimes they create the problem. But regardless of whether they cause it or create it, they offer their totalitarian solutions and make themselves monarchs to issue their totalitarian solutions. Look at the other side. Here's Newsom's press office. No, Shia Raycheck, get the facts. This isn't COVID-19. Risk is very low. Then why are you declaring a state of emergency? Why? I mean, Aaron, help me. What do I do? What do I say?
Control. I don't know.
I
don't know.
They're writing that.
Yeah.
The risk is very low.
I know.
So we're declaring a state of emergency. What? It would be like if Will and I were standing on the parking lot and I said, Will, throw me a life vest. Tom, you're not in water. Exactly. Throw me a life vest. But Tom, that makes no sense. Will, Come on. Throw me a life vest. Bird flu isn't spreading. This is them, person to person, but they declare a state of emergency. No public mask mandates or restrictions, but they're declaring public emergency. Just avoid raw milk. Look at, you need to declare an emergency so you can tell people to avoid raw milk and unnecessary contact with livestock. And I can tell you right now, if I lived in the state of California, I would make a video of myself guzzling raw milk right now while I held chickens.
Isn't it illegal in California?
Who knows? Gosh, I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. Changing subjects again. Let's go to, I'm sorry, Will. Yeah, put that up there. Isn't it weird, though, that you have the biggest democratic totalitarian state, the Republic of Stalin's Republic of California, declares a public emergency, a state of emergency, when lo and behold, look at the date. Just what is that, Aaron? 8 months ago? Let's see, it's the 12th month. That's the, not 8 months, 5 months ago. Yeah. 5 months ago, yeah, July. So 5 months ago, the Biden administration signs a contract with Moderna for an mRNA flu vaccination. And now you have the largest state that's probably going to be ushering in bird flu vaccinations. And who do they sign it with? The company that they're in a fascistic relationship with, where Moderna and the NIH share scientists with each other and shares patents and shares royalties from their patents. Amazing how this all works, isn't it? That the very people that are declaring the problem profit from the problem. The very people that create the problem profit from the problem. The very people who cause the problem or make up the problem out of whole cloth profit from the problem, which is why Anthony Fauci refused to answer about his and other NIH scientists' royalties from the Moderna COVID-19 vaccination, which is also mRNA. And they just pulled the mRNA RSV vaccination that they were jamming into the veins of newly born children because it hospitalized two of them. But here they continue on. The experts, just like the experts on Capitol Hill, are so distraught because Elon Musk destroyed the decorum of their procedures. Again, if those things actually made our country, you know, a utopic, democratic constitutional republic, great. You shouldn't be interrupted. But when you've made it a unaffordable hellhole, you should be interrupted. Like, Tom, get past it. It's tough for me to get past stuff. Everything relates. Everything relates because idiocy is everywhere. And you can just spot it. I'm going to declare a state of emergency. Why? There's no person-to-person transmission. And even if there was, how many people has the bird flu killed? Statistically, zero. Which, by the way, that's the same stat with COVID. Want kids to get vaccinated? They have not proven one kid has died of COVID yet. Not one. Oh, that's not true. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. All right, let me get off of this. I'll stay on COVID all night long. But anyway, all right, New York Post tweet. Let's go on to drones. Let's go to drones. Drones spotted. I thought, now, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. Will, correct me if I'm wrong. What were we told by the Pentagon that not one of these drones has been seen in a military base?
Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure. I had that down. John Kirby. Or was it the Air? Was it the press secretary for the military? Don't remember. But anyway, they were told they haven't seen one. Well, here's the problem. They're a little off. Drones spotted by 17 military bases. So, they only missed it by 17. They said zero, and there's actually 17 bases located. And not only did they miss it, but all 17 military bases that have seen drones flying over them, New York Post tweet, by the way, were all next to Chinese-owned land in the U.S. Because you have the number one and number two private farmland owners in America are who? Billy Gates, number one. And the CCP, number two. And all the idiots on the left will say, it's not the CCP, it's just Chinese-owned companies. Oh, yeah, no, that's the CCP, okay? All right, let's go to the next one. Let me just show you the map. Here's where they all are. That's nice, isn't it? That's glorious. Right there. That's where they've been seen, and that's the red area is the Chinese-owned. Let's look at how close it is. Let's go around, shall we? Let's have some fun. Let's go to Texas, right there. Camp Bullis. Not only is do the Chinese own land right next to Camp Bullis? It's adjacent to it. Connected to it. And that was allowed by the Biden administration. Let's just go up the road a little bit to Fort Cavazos. Same, adjacent. Same at Patrick Air Force Base. I think it's Patrick Air Force Base. It says Patrick Space Force. Oh, Space Force Base now. Look at all. Basically, let's look at. Right, I live just south of we're in Florida now, MacDill Air Force Base. I live exactly 1 hour south of there. Look at all the Chinese owned land between that Air Force. Basically, they own all the land. Get you see this, Aaron? Yeah. See this, Will, yeah. former military man. They own all the land between the military bases in Florida. Those two military bases in Florida. It's incredible. Own all of it. And again, directly adjacent to Patrick Space Force Base. Let's look at Fort Liberty, surrounded by Chinese CCP land. I'm from right there, Naval Station Norfolk. Used to be called Oceana. My dad was stationed nearby there. And look at that one, surrounded by CCP. Now, the one up there on Maine Army National Guard, they're a little farther away. But they've all seen drones fly over them. I wonder why, because they're right next door. Those are their neighbors. Howdy do, neighbor. Merry Christmas. Blanker's full. Look at them all. Most of them are adjacent. Let's go out to Utah, Hill Air Force Base, surrounded by it. They own all the land around both military bases in Utah. Oh. Grand Forks Air Force Base, adjacent. Look at it. Look at it, Will, right there. For you guys, it's this way. Oh, this way. There we go. Look at it. They buy land that's not even near it. They buy land. And look at the one, Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. Whitman Air Force Base in Missouri. They buy the land adjacent to it.
Yep,
the Biden administration let them do it. They're flying drones over it. No problem. I mean, imagine if this was 1942 and we had the Luftwaffe flying overhead. No problem whatsoever. They're not doing anything. Go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, I always love looking at Hawaii. Look at Hawaii.
Oh, God.
Look at Oahu.
Oh, my gosh.
Why
are you doing this to me? I just had gotten over it. Now you're blowing it all up again.
Both of those islands are all
like. What is the big island? That one right there. Is that?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Let me look it up. Yeah.
Look it up. Okay. And it just come back and tell me. But I'm like, folks, this is a national disgrace. And now all 17 of these military installations have seen drones flying over them. Have they ever seen drones flying over them before? No. Have they now? Yes. Yes. And what's the answer? Nothing. Nothing. All right, go to the next one for me, Will. So here it is. Don't worry. They're all over it. The experts are all over it. Greg Price video. The spokesman for Joe Biden's Department of Defense just said that he recently learned. They're all over this. And you're like, this has nothing to do with the time. I just want to show you their level of expertise. Quit laughing, Will. You used to fight for these guys. Well, they were different people then. So anyway, the spokesman for Joe Biden's Department of Defense just said that he recently learned there were over 1,000 more American troops deployed to Syria than previously announced. So the press secretary for the Department of Defense doesn't understand that we actually have 2,000 troops in Syria instead of the 900 he's been saying for the last 3 years. He has no idea that we have double the amount of troops there than he thought we had. Play for me, Will.
As you know, we have been briefing you regularly that there are approximately 900 U.S. troops deployed to Syria. In light of the situation in Syria and the significant interest, we recently learned that those numbers were higher. And so asked to look into it, I learned today that, in fact, there are approximately 2,000 U.S. troops in Syria. As I understand it, as it was explained to me, these additional forces are considered temporary rotational forces that deploy to meet shifting mission requirements, whereas the core 900 deployers are on longer-term deployments. And as you know, for many of our deployments, numbers will fluctuate from time to time, but given that this number is significantly higher than what we've been briefing, I wanted to let you know as soon as I found out this information.
So it took him 3 years and 10 months to find out that there's twice as many military, so I don't know what branches they are, of our military personnel. He's been saying for years there's 900 people in Syria. I've heard that. But it turns out there's 2,000. So these experts, these administrative experts, these people, the military budget's $824 billion a year, can't tell you how many soldiers. I mean, if you missed it, like, you know, turned out I was wrong. There was, instead of 900, there was 973. No, I told you there's 900 and there's 2,000. A little different. That these are the experts. And again, everybody needs to look at people who are experts and determine their level of true expertise. Anthony Fauci's been in government since 1980 and has never solved a problem in the area of his expertise. If I had been a pastor, I've been a pastor of this church here for 20 years, youth pastor before that, and nobody ever got saved, should I continue to pastor? I think not.
No.
But that's the government. They never solve one problem. If I was a cop all of those years and never 25 years, 1992 to 2017, and I never, ever arrested one person, solved one crime, or helped any situation at all, should I continue in law enforcement? That's Anthony Fauci. He's never helped anybody. He's never cured a disease. He's done nothing but self-aggrandizement, self-profit, self-profiteering. Oh, but back to the drone. So they're that same idiot now coming out, the press secretary for the Pentagon. They are now finally, now this problem, today is December 19th. This problem began with drones, and now we've seen over 17 military bases, not just in New Jersey, 17 military bases, all of which are, for all intents and purposes, surrounded by, not surrounded by, but have Chinese property adjacent to them. 17 military bases, along with New Jersey, are seeing drones fly over them. And all the military bases have Chinese property adjacent to them or right next to them. Even some of them surrounded by it. Now, a month and a day later after this began, the military is finally now going to do something about it. Chief Nerd Video, play for me, Will.
On the drone question, I shudder to bring this up, but you mentioned on Tuesday that counter-drone systems will be deployed to New Jersey this week or next week. Have those systems been deployed, and what's the rule of engagement on those? Are those kinetic or fuzzbuster type of equipment?
So the majority of that capability has deployed. The rest should be arriving very shortly, if not imminently. And as I highlighted earlier in the week, that will be a combination of active and passive detection capabilities, as well as some capability, counter UAS capabilities, which would include non-kinetic types of systems like drone busters, right, which essentially disrupts signals and affects the ability of these systems to fly.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Say there were no laws, and you had a drone peeping at your daughter and wife every day. How long would it take you to solve problem?
2 seconds.
Yep. It's over. I mean, you're like, okay, I may not be good enough shot to hit that with my 9mm, but I certainly can get a shotgun with buckshot and take it down, right? Now, the experts, takes them 31 days to even announce a response, to even initiate a response. By the way, those drones aren't there. I won't hold my breath until those military drones are there, because we all know it's probably going to take them 60 days to get there. And by then, the drones will probably be gone because they've collected all the data they need to collect. For, in my opinion, the Chinese government. Just like if there's, listen, I mean, come on. Who's flying over our country? They flew over with two balloons. They're flying over with drones now. It's the Chinese, and they flood our southern border with their illegal military age men, migrants, crossing our border. 100,000+ of them that we know of are inside the United States as they gather vital military infrastructure information. Strategic, tactical information with their drones every day. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Aaron, a lot of drones, especially the ones the size of an SUV, are actively transmitting that information live.
Yep, absolutely.
Back to locations. There you go.
Yep.
So it's just like the balloon was. And Joe Biden let the balloon fly over the United States for 8 days. I mean, just imagine 8 days. I mean, I could drive to California in two. And like, it's like you're going to allow a balloon with a camera flying over our our nuclear missile silos and military installations and actively transmit that information back to Beijing. We all know why. Because Joe Biden is being extorted by Xi Jinping because of his $1.4 billion payoff to Hunter Biden in 2014 when Hunter and Joe flew over there on Air Force Two together to secure that deal. All right, here's some more expertise for you. RNC research video. Mayorkas, China has, Mayorkas, the head of the DHS, apologize. China has, in fact, hacked into our telecommunications providers. Oh, really? What have you done about it? NBC, what? Oh, it's right there. What are you doing about it? Mayorkas, we put out a memo. Play it for me, Will.
China has, in fact, hacked into our telecommunications providers, some of them. And the extent of it is quite serious. And I should say that in response to that, we have taken action. We in the federal government have stood up a unified coordination group, a multi-agency response to this hack. Just today, our cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency published mobile communications best practices that everyone should read, especially people in positions of responsibility in the United States government. It's a very sophisticated hack. I can't speak publicly to how it occurred, but the telecom providers are focused intensely on it, and they are working in partnership with us to remediate it.
But how long has this been going on? Months?
It is not an overnight hack. This is a very sophisticated one.
And it's still going on.
And it is still going on, and China is very active in this space.
All right, Aaron, give me a Trump China.
China?
There you go. So we have China flying over the United States with their drones, collecting military tactical information, because it's very strange that they happen to be flying over. And if you're pleased, did everyone happen to notice the geographic locations of all of those military bases? They were all ones that are basically close to the coast. Notice that? On both Pacific and Atlantic, just throwing that together. So they're actively, those drones are actually actively transmitting our basically top secret information back to China, live and in person, happening right now. During the exact same time, in collaboration with, China has in fact hacked into our telecommunications providers. So if you want to cause a major internet slash cyber breach. So everybody knows. You're not going to like to hear this. But like planes now cannot land without a computer. You're like, no, they can be shifted over. No, they can't. Believe me. I'm talking about new ones. Newer planes cannot even land without a computer system. They won't do anything without it. If you cyber hack everything, like what you do is disable the military so that it can't respond to you day of the attack. Via cyber attack. So they're sending this information, buying the land around the bases, flying drones over the bases, transmitting that back to China, Iran, and Russia. So if there is ever an attack, they can do a cyber preemptive attack, then attack right after the cyber attack. So there's no way for us to react day of. We can't scramble jets without the internet. And the internet's a broad term, but without cyber abilities. Can't. You ask, if you ever are on a private jet, ask the pilot, can you land this if the computer system goes down? Ask him. I was on a private jet one time, and one of the passengers asked that question. I did not want to know the response. I don't like flying to begin with. Aaron, what do you got from here? Fire sale attack, what's that?
Yeah, this is...
depicting a three-stage, yeah. Thank you. Depicting a three-stage coordinated attack. Well, I actually kind of said it on my own, didn't I? Coordinated attack on a country's transportation, telecommunications, financial utilities and infrastructure program, fire sale attack. So let's go do the military man in the room, the artillery man in the room, Will, fought in a war. He said the most important part of warfare is recon, is what you know about your enemies, their locations, their tactics, whatever it is, you know all about them. It's the information that you know. Well, we're not doing anything, and they're over here flying drones over our military bases. But don't worry. 31 days in, the military has a concept of a response. 31 days in. How would that have worked out in Pearl Harbor? D-Day and all the rest of it. Everyone just said, don't worry about it right now. Pearl Harbor, all right. No problem. We'll respond later. And okay, just have to go over this, though. I have to say it one more time. So China. So that was an RNC research video, by the way, with Mayorkas. Mayorkas! China has, in fact, he tries to come out and sound like, you know, a man with gravitas. Like he's an authoritative figure. Authoritarian is correct, but not authoritative. China has, in fact, hacked into our telecommunications providers. NBC reporter, what are you doing about it? Mayorkas, we have put out a memo for best practices online. Oh, thank goodness. I feel so much better now. I feel so much better that Mayorkas has, in fact, put out a memo for best practices online. NBC asks, How long has this been going on? Mayorkas, it's still going on. Oh. After his memo for best practices?
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to dare? It's just like if you put out a gun-free zone, doesn't that stop all the criminals with guns from going into the gun-free zone? Or does it actually tell them that this is the place to attack because there are no guns? He puts out the best practices memo to try and stop them from hacking into our telecommunication providers, which is everybody, by the way. Military has the same telecommunication providers as you and I. They just have more guardrails involved in them and less access to them. Hack into one, you can hack into them all eventually. Gosh, really, is it 10-12?
It is.
Where should I finish? All right, let me do that. I got to go, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know what's funny about the memo thing about best practices and stuff like
that?
You
don't feel better?
No, okay. I don't. Because what's funny about it is I used to do like a tech support role for Sarasota County government, and people would essentially fall for like fake emails saying like, oh, we're going to reset your password, whatever, type in your old one, all that kind of stuff. He's acting like that's the reason that China hacked into the telecommunications is somebody accidentally clicked on an email and thought it was like, you know, a trusted source and reset their password that way and got it stolen. That's not it at all. They're actually actively hacking into the system. So that memo does absolutely less than nothing.
Well, most of our cyber, our cyber, our computer equipment, a lot of it is built in China.
Yes.
And they actually have
backdoors.
Yes. They've put in, exactly. They put in all of our drones backdoors so they can take them over.
Yeah.
TikTok is one giant psyop.
Yes.
From China so they can access your phone. If you're on TikTok, it is from China. It was built in China. The CEO of TikTok is a CCP operative. Yeah. And a lot of the equipment, a lot of the components in our devices are built by China so that they can simply turn them off or cause them to, what is it called? Give them a backdoor into your device. And that's the reason why they have hacked into our telecommunication providers. But don't worry, Mayorkas has put out a memo for best practices. I got to show you this. This is so interesting. A lot of you know this already, but I just have to show it to you. Illuminati coin video. BlackRock bet $360 million on Trump's assassination that it would actually succeed. Play it for me, Will.
BlackRock knew that Donald Trump might get assassinated before it actually happened. BlackRock bet $360 million on Trump's assassination, and here's how they did it. They shorted a company owned by Trump, ticker symbol DJT. If Trump dies, the stock will plummet and BlackRock will make billions. Well, Trump didn't die, and they convinced their broker to give all of their money back because the stock rallied 45%, tanking their investment of $360 million all the way to zero. What's strange is that the shooter had once appeared in a BlackRock commercial. BlackRock removed the ad just minutes after the shooting. This is a very suspicious story, and I'm going to keep track of it.
Hey, Will, just load up, go right to the next one. Here's that BlackRock ad. Most of you have seen it already. Illuminati coin video, no verbiage. Here's that BlackRock ad with the two shooters in it. Play it for me.
The action is to appeal to world leaders. World organization.
My name is Brian DeLallo. I teach AP and Honors Economics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Financial well-being to me is knowing that I can be free to do the things that I love to do. I hope when I retire someday, they say, you know, that guy made this place a special place to come to school and gave as much as he could to help the community.
so weird. Ryan Routh and Thomas Crooks are both in BlackRock ads, and BlackRock buys short buys stocks, whatever it is. No, I'm horrible in the stock market, but they
they're shorting the stock.
Thank you, shorting the stocks. I believe it was on True Social, possibly. I don't know if I understood that correctly. So don't owe me that. But anyway, they were shorting a stock.
DJT.
That's the True Social, right? Yeah. So they were shorting True Social because they knew if Trump was dead, True Social would disappear. They shorted it right before, I think he said 8 days before the assassination attempt. They were shorting those stocks. And then basically erased the evidence of doing it afterwards. Weird. And then both shooters are in BlackRock ads. I mean, this is all such coincidence. It's all coincidental, isn't it? Gosh, dog. Just imagine if we had legitimate law enforcement in this country. Imagine if we had legitimate law enforcement. I hope and I believe Kash Patel will usher that in. Speaking of that, let me cover this story, then we'll go. Gosh, it's 10:16. All right, that's okay. I'm only one minute past my prediction right now. Quiet, Will. Congressman Byron Donald's video. October, media tried to gaslight you into believing it wasn't a problem. Now, I'm talking about the border, but I'm focusing totally on Aurora, Colorado. Aurora, Colorado. Tried to gaslight you into believing it wasn't a problem for only a handful of apartment complexes in Aurora to be taken over by illegals. Let's set the precedent for this. Play for me, Will.
Senator Vance, I'm going to stop you because I know exactly what happened. I'm going to stop you. The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on.
Okay, Aurora, Colorado now. This is a live look now. The sun is up there in that state, and police have now detained 14 people in reported armed home invasion. That's the same apartment complex where a lot of people were complaining about the armed Venezuelan gang members roaming the halls. Reports indicate that investigators said that several suspects entered the apartment and had two people inside. The suspects then reportedly moved the victims to another apartment complex, or rather another unit on the property where police said they were found threatened and bound. An adult man sustained a non-life-threatening stab wound.
Yeah, J.D. Vance was talking to us probably about 2 months apart, but J.D. Vance telling Martha Raddatz, do you hear yourself? It's only a handful of apartment, Aaron clarified this, apartment complexes. How many apartments are in the apartment complex? It's only a handful of apartment complexes that are being taken over with AK-47s and 9mm by Tren de Aragua. Not only, they keep calling it a Venezuelan gang, they're not a Venezuelan gang. They are a Venezuelan prison gang released by Nicolas Maduro under the pretense of, I will let you go if you will promise to illegally migrate through the United States southern border. I'll let you go. These are the murderers and the rapists out of Venezuelan prisons. Prisons. So Martha Raddatz is perfectly fine. It's only a few apartment complexes that have been taken by force, by basically gangland force, American citizens, probably illegals too, but their apartment complexes are being taken over by Venezuelan prison gangs, and Martha Raddatz is perfectly fine with it because it'll never be a threat to her as she lives behind walls and guns that she doesn't want anybody else to have. So between that, that was in August when we saw the initial report. Now here we are in the month of December, and it's still happening in Aurora, Colorado. Play for me, Will.
It was a male and a female. They were accosted by approximately 13 to 15 armed individuals. They were pistol whipped. They were beat. They were mistreated. One of the male was actually stabbed. He had a stab wound. So does that fall in the category of torture for me? Yeah, it does. There is a high assumption that they may be affiliated with the TDA gang. I had a discussion with an individual from the White House, and that occurred back on September the 23rd, I believe. And that person basically told me that, hey, once these immigrants get across the border, that's all we really care about. And to me, that's a problem.
Wow, those are powerful words. That was the police chief in Aurora, Colorado, detailing a nightmare inside the walls of an apartment complex known to be home to members of that notorious Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua. More than a dozen suspects breaking into an apartment where they tied up, pistol whipped, and even stabbed two innocent victims. I can barely believe it as we say.
Venezuelan gangs are the worst in the world. They're vicious, violent people. And you see what they've done in Colorado and other places. They're taking over, literally taking over apartment complexes and doing it with impunity. They don't care. They couldn't. They just are. They're in the real estate business.
You know, the local police say that is not the case in Colorado.
Oh, it's totally the case. I mean,
believe the local police.
I play it. I used to play it at my rallies every single night. No, they're breaking into doors. They're taking over the building.
But, sir, you
raised the
point.
And by the way, the police are afraid to do anything.
There you go. Hey, it's just a few apartment complexes. It's just a mask. It's just one vaccination. It's just an electric car. It's just a smart monitoring system in your house. So that the energy company can turn off your air conditioner whenever they feel like it. It's just a mark on your right hand or on your forehead. That's how it all goes. All right, that's good. 10:21. That's good. Like I said, next week, We'll be off Monday through Friday, but church will still be going on. So join us for church. Be there, including Christmas Eve. Aaron, we're putting Christmas Eve on Rumble.
Yeah, you know? It'll be live.
We'll be live on Rumble on Christmas Eve. You got to watch. It's going to be great. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Patriot, Wolverine, $100. Thank you so much, man. Just Fact, $20. Thank you so much. Buckeye Night, 1968, $20. Thank you so much. Dave Souders, $10. Thank you so much. The Matriarch of the Chat every single night. Tammy L. Margaret, $10. Thank you so much, Tammy. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Stick around for the post game. Mixed in a lot of Christmas. There's some negative, but I mixed in a lot of Christmas. Stick around for the post game. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. See you then. God bless you.
2 Corinthians 8:9. He became poverty so that you could become rich. And then Christians think that it's an attribute to be poor. That's like saying that it's an attribute to become sin because he became sin. Well, you just want to feed the world. How are you going to feed the world when you're broke? Wouldn't you rather, instead of signing up for a dollar a day to save this or that, wouldn't you rather save an entire village by giving them $5 million? Well, we have all of that. The cattle upon 1,000 hills and all wealth is his. Romans chapter 8:16-17. Join heirs with him. Therefore, what does heir mean? Inheritance. It's yours. And it's not yours in heaven. It's yours now. Nobody ever believes it because they've been ingrained into believing that poverty is a Christian attribute. It is not. If you don't want it, give it away and let God make you a continuous conduit of cash.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.